Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Last week, we started talking about the rapture, and I took you to 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17, which is the depiction or the description of the rapture, and it says that Jesus will come back with the voice of an archangel, and a trump shall sound, and with a loud shout, and then those who are dead in the grave, or those who are asleep, will be caught up, first of all, and then those of us who are alive and remain will then be caught up, and so there's an order about which people are going to be resurrected in their resurrection bodies. There's an order, and Jesus was the first fruits of all creation. He was the firstborn of all creation, given back to the Lord, and when he was resurrected, he gave his own precious blood. He went into the Holy of Holies in heaven, and he gave his very own precious blood that all who came after him, and even all who were before him, who believed in the name of the Lord, who believed and called on God and called on Jesus, that their sins were forgiven and that they were redeemed. And so there is an order. God is a God of order. Everything that he does has an order about it. He is not a God of chaos and confusion. And so Jesus was the first, and then the saints who, the Old Testament saints, went with him, and that was the order that God prescribed, is that the Old Testament saints, those who believed in the Lord, would go first, and he led the captivity captive. Psalm 68:18 tells us that he led the captivity up out of Sheol, that were being kept until the blood of Jesus redeemed them. And then when he comes back in the rapture, he will catch us up to be with him. He will catch us up, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those who of us who are alive and remain shall be caught up together, tells us 1 Thessalonians 4:17. We shall be caught up together, and we shall always be with Christ, and therefore we are to encourage each other with these words. So that is a brief summary of what we talked about last week. We also went to 1 Corinthians 15, which is the resurrection chapter. And I encourage you to read that. It's a very encouraging chapter. Starting in about verse 20, it talks about Jesus Christ being resurrected. It also talks about our resurrection bodies. What are they going to look like? What is your resurrection body going to look like? It's going to be a glorified body. It will not look like your natural body. Yes, it will be recognizable as your natural body is recognizable. But your resurrection body is going to be a glorified body. It is going to be a spiritual body. You will not be confined by the restraints and the constraints of your natural body. And so your resurrection body is that body that is going to go in the rapture. It's that body that's going to enter into heaven. And I have here a couple of examples in the Bible, because you might have a question which says, well, Jim, if there is a rapture, is there any place in Scripture, especially in Old Testament Scripture, is there any place that talks about a rapture, or where we can see that something like a rapture has already taken place in the Old Testament? Because the Old Testament is the types and shadows of what takes place in the New Covenant, and so you would expect to find something in the Old Testament that would be similar or resemble the New Testament rapture. And sure enough, there is something in the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, it says, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. That's it. That's the scripture. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And so there you have it. There is a picture of the rapture. Enoch was a man who walked with God. He was a man who was blameless in his ways, and he walked very closely with God, and wouldn't it be great if we could all do that, and then God would just take us? Well, that is a possibility, I suppose. We could all have that anointing or that impartation of being a blameless person, just as Enoch was. And so Enoch was walking very close with God, and then all of a sudden it says he was not, and God took him. And so there you have a picture of the rapture in the first book of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, chapter 5. Also, we have a picture of the rapture in 2 Kings, the second chapter, verse 11, in speaking about the not the death, but the leaving of Elijah, or the end of his life of Elijah the prophet. And it says in 2 Kings 2:11, "Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated Elijah from Elisha. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it, and he cried out, 'My father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen.' So he, Elisha, saw Elijah no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two." And then in verse 13 it said, "He also took up," that is Elisha, "took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan." And so Elijah, the prophet Elijah, when he was ready, when God was ready to take him, he did not die a natural death. He did not die and was not laid in the grave, or was not sick and passed away. God just took him. He put him in a chariot of fire with horses of fire, and God took Elijah just like that off the face of the earth. And his protege, Elisha, was there to pick up the mantle, and Elisha picked up the mantle, and he received a double portion of the anointing that was on the prophet Elijah. And so that also is a picture of the rapture. God took him, and he did not taste natural death. And so we have those two examples in the Old Testament. We also have a very interesting example in the New Testament of a resurrection of those who are already dead. That is, those who have already passed on. And that is in Matthew 27, verse 51. Now this is taking place right after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, or at the same time as the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It says in Matthew 27:51, "Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split." Verse 52, "And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised." That is, the saints had fallen asleep, or they had died, and they were raised. "And coming out of the graves after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city," that is the saints, the resurrected saints, "went into the holy city and appeared to many." And so Jesus, when he was resurrected, he also unleashed or loosed from the grave many who had died there in Jerusalem, many who had already fallen asleep, and he gave them back their body, and he raised them from the dead, just as he was raised from the dead, to prove to unbelievers, or to prove to doubters and scoffers, that he had the power not only to raise himself from the dead, but he had the power to raise others from the dead. And these saints got up, they walked around in Jerusalem. If you can just imagine walking around the city and seeing people that were out in the cemetery that you just visited at Memorial Day, and walking around the city and seeing those people alive and walking around, it would be quite a shocking experience to you. And that is what happened in Jerusalem. And that is an example of not just the rapture, that God is able to raise the dead, but he's also able to raise those who have been dead for many years and completely dead and gone from this world, asleep to this world, and Jesus and God had the power to raise them and let them walk around, and we could be witnesses of that. Well, the rapture occurs so that God can take the saints out of the world, that Jesus comes and he meets the saints and those who have fallen asleep, their resurrected bodies, and meet with Jesus in the air. It tells us in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16-17, that he meets them in the air. He doesn't step on the earth. Jesus doesn't plant his feet on the Mount of Olives. That comes later at the second coming. But the rapture, he gathers up the church, he gathers up the saints, and the purpose is to gather the saints and to take them to their reward in heaven in their resurrected bodies. And so that their spirit and their soul and their body are restored, that they are complete, that they are made whole. And those three aspects, we all are three-part beings, and those three aspects then of our bodies and our soul and our spirit are brought together and are resurrected, and so we are again a whole person just as God created us. And so that's His will, and He does that then, and He takes the saints into heaven, He leads us into heaven, and we sit down there and have a supper with the Lord in heaven, and that supper is called the marriage supper of the Lamb. And Jesus tells a parable about the marriage supper of the Lamb in Luke chapter 14, verse 16. So if you have your Bible there, turn it to Luke chapter 14, verse 16, and we're going to read about the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then He said to them, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many." This is Jesus speaking. "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' But they with all one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused.' And another one said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused.' And still another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' And so that servant came, and he reported these things to his master. And then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is more room.' And verse 23, 'Then the master said to the servant, Go out into the highways and the hedges,'" or the highways and byways, some translations say, "'and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of these men who were invited shall taste my supper.'" And so this is a picture of the rapture. This is a picture of Jesus gathering up the believers and gathering up to take them to heaven for their great reward. And beloved, we're going to sit down at the banquet hall in heaven, and it's going to be a glorious banquet. It's going to be a great banquet. It's going to be a huge banquet. And the finest of all the food, the finest of all the fixings that God can put on the table, and Jesus can put on the table, we're going to sit down there, and we are going to sup, and we are going to dine with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But the message that Jesus was trying to give in this parable of the marriage supper of the Lamb is that many are invited. Many. All the wealthy, the important, the people with titles, the people with reputation, the people that have all the luxuries and all the great things in life that He has provided for them, that He has given them. They're all invited, but they were all too busy. They're too busy taking care of their land. They're too busy taking care of their wife, their relationships. They're too busy checking on their oxen and their tractors and their machinery. And they're too busy with their luxuries and their hobbies and their sports and everything. And they're too busy. And eventually, Jesus got a report from his servant and said, "Well, there's not going to be very many coming because all these people are too busy. They don't have time to come to the banquet. They don't have time. They've got all these preoccupations. They've got all these distractions, all these things that are so important to them. They don't have time to pay any attention and come to the supper." And Jesus says, "Well, go invite the poor and the lame and the blind and those that are broken and maimed, and let them come." And so the hall was almost filled with these people. And these are the broken people. These are the broken people on the earth. Those that have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Those that have received the gospel with joy. Because they have nothing. Because they don't have the yoke of oxen. Because they don't have all the luxuries. They don't have all the sports and the hobbies and all the distractions. Some of them don't even have a wife because maybe their wife passed away or left or whatever. So the broken, those who are downtrodden and broken and crying out in desperation. And the Lord says, "All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so Jesus wants those who are broken to call on Him. And beloved, if you're in that place today, if you're in that place where you are broken and you need somebody, you need something to pick you up, you need something to restore you, you need something to comfort you and encourage you. Beloved, that is Jesus Christ. He came to bind up the brokenhearted. He came to set the captives free. He came to give sight to the blind, and he came to preach the good news to the poor, those that don't have monetary things, and those that have nothing in terms of luxuries to fall back on or to depend on. And so he came for those people, and these are the ones that said, yes, I'll come, and I'll go to the banquet, and I'll eat with Jesus Christ. And there was still room. The servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, but there is still room at the banquet. And then the master said, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who are invited shall taste my supper. Well, how does God compel us to come in? How does God reach out to those in the highways and the byways and in the hedges and into the remotest parts of the earth? How does he compel? He does it by sending preachers out. He does it by sending evangelists out. He does it by sending gospel tracts out and by sending Bibles so that people can read the good news of the gospel, that people can hear the word in evangelistic meetings and in crusades. He does it by radio broadcasts, by television broadcasts, by messages and live streaming over the internet. We have great technology now to spread the good news of the gospel. We have great technology to reach into the farthest, remotest parts of the earth to bring the good news of the gospel. And beloved, I pray that if you're listening to me today and you want to get behind a ministry that is teaching and preaching the gospel, that you get behind Gather the Outcast Ministry, not only for this radio broadcast, but for the crusades in Africa and the orphanage project in Africa, that you get behind this ministry so we can go out and we can encourage and we can exhort, and we can compel the people to come in to the marriage supper, to come into the banquet that Jesus has prepared for us. And if you will do that, if you will get behind this ministry, you're not only helping this ministry, you're not only helping to spread the gospel, but you're sowing into your own destiny. Luke 6:38 says, give, and it shall be given, pressed down, shaken together, spilling over. It shall be given into your bosom, for with the measure that you measure out, it shall be measured unto you. And so when you give with liberality, when you give freely, freely you have received, freely give. When you give freely of your resources, of your money, of whatever it is God has blessed you with, when you give of that and you sow into kingdom ventures, you sow into kingdom harvest through ministries such as Gather the Outcast, you're going to be sowing in good soil. You're going to be encouraging evangelists. You're going to be encouraging pastors and teachers. I'm going to be having crusades in three countries in Africa this year, a total of four crusades, the way it looks now, and we're going to have pastor conferences. So I'm going to be able to teach pastors and encourage and strengthen their walk, pray for pastors. And it's great encouragement for pastors in the Congo and Burundi and some of these out-of-way places where there is so much strife and so much chaos, for somebody to come from America and show that we love them, show that we're thinking about them, that we are here to encourage them. And so I would encourage you to sow into your own destiny, because as you give to this ministry, as you give into these kingdom projects, you're also going to be reaping a blessing for yourself, because with the same measure that you measure out, it shall be measured unto you. So I pray that you take that seriously, think about your place in the kingdom and what God has for you in the kingdom and how you want to participate to bring blessings into the kingdom and upon yourself as well. Well, the marriage supper of the Lamb, the real marriage supper of the Lamb that is coming, that is going to take place, is similar to the marriage supper, the parable that we just read. But the real marriage supper of the Lamb is going to come at the end of the age, and that's going to be coming in Revelation 19. It's described, John was given a vision of the end times, the revelation of Jesus Christ, and one of the things that he was given an image of or a picture of was the marriage supper of the Lamb in Revelation 19. I'm going to just read some verses here in Revelation 19. Here's verse 1. After these things, I, John, heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. And again they said, Alleluia, her smoke, that is the harlot, her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And then a voice came from the throne, saying, Praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both great and small. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. And verse 7, here's a description then of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. That is, or his church, his wife, has made herself ready. That's us. When we come into the banquet hall, when we come in to sit down with the Lord, we have made ourselves ready. We are ready to sit down with the Lord. Then the marriage shall be consummated. The banquet shall proceed, and it's going to be a glorious banquet of the finest that God can put on the table. And to her, to the church, or to the bride, it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. And so the marriage supper of the Lamb, again, beloved, is going to be a glorious event. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, it will be a glorious event, and you're going to be able to sit down with the other believers, the millions and billions from across the earth, from every tribe and tongue and nation. You're going to be able to sit down and sup with the Lord and enjoy the presence of the Lord and be in the presence of the angels, the 24 elders, and you're going to enjoy the greatest supper, the greatest blessing that you ever have, to know that you're going to be with Jesus Christ for all eternity, and you're going to be sitting with all the saints from all over the earth who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Well, I pray that you are there today. I pray that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you don't, you can pray that Jesus will reveal himself to you, and Jesus says, All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you ask the Lord to reveal himself to you, you repent of your sin, you turn from your wicked ways, and you ask the Lord to forgive you, and you say, Jesus, I am a sinner. I want you to come into my heart and save me. I want you to come in and break every chain of bondage, every chain of sin off of me, and I repent of my sins, and I turn to you, Jesus. I believe you are who you say you are, and I turn to you, and I believe you are the Son of God, that you died for me, and you shed your precious blood for my sins, that I could know you for all eternity. If you pray that prayer, let me know, Pure Prairie at Hotmail, let me know and contact me, and I'll get you some information, some literature to get you started on your Christian walk. And I praise God if you have made that prayer, that declaration over your life today. God is faithful and true. He hears every prayer, and he knows your heart, and so he knows if you are sincere, if you have repented, and he knows if you truly are calling out to Jesus. Well, beloved, we're going to be going to Africa in July. I pray that you would support this mission. Sit down and write out a check to Gather the Outcasts. We'll get a book into your hand for every person that supports this mission with a donation of any amount. We're going to get a book into your hands, Gather the Outcasts, Reaching the Lost in Africa. And we're going to be going there, as I spoke before, preaching crusades in Burundi and in Congo and in Kenya. And we've got the balls rolling over there already. We've got posters going up and pastors' work teams and committees working on different aspects of the Crusades, the sound systems, the security, the pastor conferences, all those things. And so I pray that you would come alongside this ministry and support it and pray for these missions, pray for the harvest, that God would bring in the harvest. The harvest is ripe and it is ready, and he's sending his servants over there. I'm going to be taking a team with me, have several already signed up to go, and so I'm going to be taking a team with me, and we're going to Kenya first for 2 weeks to work at the orphanage site in West Kenya, and then I'll be going on to the other countries to preach. So I invite you to support this ministry, to give, and it shall be given, and you will be blessed if you will do that. Well, thank you again for listening today. Thank you, and God bless you. I pray that you tune in again next week. Have a great week.